everyone. I'm Lexi Jackson with the Sync Center Help Desk, here to tell you about this week's episode. In this episode, we're talking all about music's role in music supervision. We cover how the Sync Center finds its music, if they use outside music, and how they build relationships to keep business booming and avoid being that person. Join us in this episode this week where I talked with John Pichotta all about it. Be sure to drop your questions below of anything that you'd like us to cover in future episodes, and we'll be sure to get to it. And for all of you who have been sending messages about how to send your music to the Sync Center, well, we cover that too. Join us in this episode. I promise you won't forget it. Thank you so much for watching our previous episodes, and I know you'll love this one too. All right, guys, who's ready? I am. Let's get it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sync Center Help Desk. I'm Lexi, here with the lovely John Pichotta, to talk to you guys about all things music supervision, music licensing, music clearance, and so much more. Today, we will be talking about how to find music. Do we find it on SoundCloud? Do we find it on Spotify? Do we find it from catalogs? Like, where do we get it from? Pretty much, and we're wanting to know. We got a lot of questions from people asking about submissions and how we go about using music, if it's all internal or if we get external music from other sources. So we're just wanting to take a minute to answer all those types of questions and let you guys know how that process goes for us. So let's get your feedback on this. Sure. I'm gonna kick us off. Let's see. The first thing our viewers would like to know is, how do you find music?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big question for sure, and it's tricky to answer that, because like at any one time we're working on 4 to 6 to 8 different projects, so each one is different, right?
Right.
So we work closely with the PROs here in Nashville, BMI and ASCAP. So it's different each time. We originally started out just using our music.
Mm-hmm.
Because
now, when you say our music,
yeah,
what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so our catalog, we have a publishing company and a recording unit. Mm-hmm. So we've got 300 to 400 songs in that catalog. Writers mm-hmm. over the years, writers who write for us currently. So that's kind of our first priority and responsibilities. Like, we've got mm-hmm. these baby chickens here saying, feed me, feed me. So we go there first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we know our catalog best, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the first circle.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, we work with family estates and companies and record labels. So if somebody wants, I Can't Make You Love Me from Bonnie Raitt, then mm-hmm. we work with the publishing and the record labels and Bonnie for that song.
Yeah. Go on directly to the source.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are kind of the super songs, like mm-hmm. we're working with Microsoft, or we're working with Buick, and together we decide, okay, we want American Woman type songs, those kind of mm-hmm. classic songs. So we go, we get those songs. And then beyond that, gosh, this is such a big question. Music's role in music supervision. Could you have picked anything broader?
Hey, the people want to know what they want to know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And let me say too, Lexi, it's great getting the questions back on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. So as people mm-hmm. have these types of questions, it's like, that's what we're here for. That's what we're doing this for. So yeah, we do use outside music, whether it's record labels and publishers, or even, you know, like one project for Netflix was German music from the 1940s. So it's like really specific.
Yeah.
The catalog, we don't have anything from the 40s. You know, it, our catalog's a 25-year-old catalog, so it sounds way. So yeah, when we go outside our catalog, there are, believe it or not, there are people who have like German music from the 40s. So we go outside our internal catalog and our allies and friends that we've worked with, whether they're producers, songwriters, other mom and pop independent publishing companies and record labels who have that music, Brazilian music. You know, we don't have anything like that in our catalog, but this year we've, you know, we've had at least three or four projects that we needed Brazilian music. And the thing that's tricky is the timestamp. When somebody says, or when the producer says, you know, this film is from the 50s in Cuba, music has to be circa 1950s Cuba. That
Cuba.
gets really specific. So we don't have anything like that internal in our catalog. So we go outside our catalog and go to
Gotcha.
four or five.
That niche.
Could be a small record
Interesting.
company who has, you know, Cuban music from the 30s on
In their catalog, and then
in
you
their
can
catalog. Yeah.
So then, with that same guise of music discovery, would you, let's say that you needed that like 1950s specific Cuban music, would you go to, as opposed to just going to publishing companies, would you look out for independent artists and looking in to see the independent side of things, and who is,
Yeah,
I
I
guess, you know, capable of replicating
Yep,
even like the
totally.
sound?
There are people we've worked with, producers, composers who are stunningly talented, who, when we say Cuban music from the 50s,
Like, oh, got it.
don't know what that means. Instrumentation wise and authentic reverb and all that, I don't know what that, but there are people who have like this gene that just gets them.
I know exactly what you do.
You don't want Cuban music from the 40s or late 50s. You want mid 50s Cuban music. And I'm like, whatever.
Being able to have that like
This is the person we want to use.
specificity of knowledge.
They're musical encyclopedias, really.
That's
So
like
yeah,
really good way
independent
to put it.
artists, and then, you know, there's the old catalog, say if we use the Cuban example from the 50s, and then there's the reproduced new music that sounds old. So these guys are really, you know, cut from the cloth that they can make it sound. They're not going to get it 100% accurate, but they're going to get it 6% there, which is pretty good when you think about you're creating a piece of music that is going to sound authentic in that time space. And oftentimes that's good enough because it's going to be more affordable. It may not be 100% sonically accurate, but for the budget, when we
It gets the point across. It gets the job done.
exactly, if there's four spots that you're looking for, you get to spread that budget out across four places, you know, and it stretches the budget out, you know.
You can use that whatever you didn't spend on another song or another. That makes sense.
That's right.
Cool.
So there's a lot
Awesome.
of different scenarios for that. And oftentimes too, you know, they, once we look at the budget for the song, you know, sometimes that prices people out of it. If they're asking 100,000 for the song minimum, it's like, okay, that's, we know whether that fits into our budget or not. And, you know, sometimes we do music recreation and replacement, which really is a whole episode we could talk about music replacement. But you know, if they want that early 60s Rolling Stones, Sympathy for the Devil song type song, but we can't afford the Stones, then we can replace the music with a song that feels like it's from that era, without infringing on the copyright or any of that. Basically creating a new work that sounds like it came from 1963 through a Vox amp.
Well, that's cool. It definitely gives it makes way for a lot of different avenues to make their way in the sync world, you know, like you said, like you won't have, you may not have something specific to the needs of the producer of the project or the head of the project, similar to what they need, but you can go out and outsource the same things that they would need, which is definitely opening up a lot of doors for people, for
Yeah, and
sure.
it's we talk about rabbits, deers, and elephants. There's the rabbits, the small independents, there's the deer that are the smaller companies, and the elephants are the majors. So, we look up, all up and down rabbits, deers, and elephants, and we build relationships and have relationships with rabbits, deers, and elephants because, it's just, there's a lot of pricing liquidity in there, and you have to find solutions that make sense for the project. And then I would
You can't say like, oh, sorry, you can't have that. Like, you can't afford it. Moving on, you know, you have to have a backup plan or
you have to
a
have
means at least.
replacement music replacement options. So, maybe we could talk about that next week. But yeah, and then of course there's music library stuff. Like if you're doing wedding videos, which we don't kind of stuff, you can get music, you can get subscriptions for $10 a month to get all the music you can use in your wedding video.
Like the royalty-free
Yeah,
music
royalty-free
sites and
stuff.
stuff like that.
Basically all you can eat music, which we don't do any of that really, but that's an option too. Like if you really need a lot of music cheap. Like aerobics instructors, we got 40 or 50 aerobics fitness coaches, who are Peloton was another one we worked with before they got sued for not listening to us. They were like, hey, we need, all this music and, we have X amount of money for it. This was 4 or 5 years ago. And they didn't understand that you can't just grab 300 songs and put it on your exercise machine and then deal with it later. But after they were sued, they kind of had an about face and had to really kind of get their music house in order. So, but there's a lot of fitness.
That's really interesting. I feel like it's something that I think it's like I know that that's like a thing you can't do, but it makes sense that people don't, you know? Like I know, but I'm in this space, you know? But like for someone who just wants to add that sound element to their project or to their business, like it may just seem like oh, it's just the music, you know? We listen to music every day. That's just, you know, there's levels.
Yeah, I think anybody serious in this space knows that you don't, use other people's content and then try to make money on their content. That's
Yeah, that's pretty
a bad actor.
straightforward on it.
Like you, there's a lot of mythology out there. The people saying, "Oh, if you use less than 3 seconds or 7 seconds, it's
Fair use.
yeah, and it's not." If you use 8 seconds
No.
Beyonce, bad for you. So yeah, I mean that's kind of how we go about music and finding music and outside music. Depends on the project, and we like to have lots of solutions, whether it's rabbits, deers, or elephants,
Plans A through F.
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for that. That was I feel like in the last like what 40 seconds or so of that response, I definitely was not prepared for Peloton. Thank you. Yeah, that's definitely good to know for sure.
And there's others too. It's like the Ellen DeGeneres show. I don't know if you remember, there was an episode, there was a spot in her television show where she came out dancing. And it was fun and everybody loved it. And it was Ellen.
Yeah, what they do.
Well, she never cleared any of the music for like a year and a half of that.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow. For that, wait, for that one episode or for that
For
season?
every episode, like that was like,
Oh no, so
I
much
think it was
work.
like her entrance music. She came out and she.
So she that's like what she would do. Like every episode she'd come out and dance with the audience. It's like a big thing.
It was fun, right?
And nobody like
For the first
I
couple
mean
of years.
I honestly don't expect her to know, to
Of
be
course not.
honest, but at the same but like nobody on her team or
Buddy in licensing and business affairs was fired because that was,
wow.
a lawsuit against the show.
That's so tragic. That's
And
such a
I get it. I mean, it moves fast. You're doing five shows a week.
That's yeah, that's very true. That's very true of those alive, or they're like you said, they're every day.
Yeah, and that's like when
Ooh.
we worked on a Dancing with the Stars recently. It was like, you ramp up for those kind of shows because the music. If you're licensing, four or five songs an episode, you need to move at that speed. It's a sprint. Then it's not a marathon. It's a sprint. So you need to have the runners who can run at that speed and know the difference, So
Interesting.
yeah, the Ellen thing was an interesting
Oof.
scenario.
Yeah, that's like a case study in itself, honestly. Okay, well, we kind of talked a little bit about I guess what not to do in the scenario and like how to go about getting your music properly. And we also kind of covered a little bit of like you said, where you get your music from in terms of the different mediums. But I wanted to ask you actually, in terms of when you get those music pieces from those mediums, there are people that you're talking to. It's not you're not. Well, I don't know. I don't think you are. At least I don't think that you're, filling out a form and then like a song pops out that you can use at the end. Like you're communicating with real life people. And a lot of that is thanks to the relationships that you've been able to build over time. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the most important piece of building a relationship with someone in this industry?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a big part of your success. It's like really saying what you're going to do and then doing what you said you were going to do. If you have that, you're going to be a success. Because you're not over-promising, you're not under-promising, you're just saying like, this is the right scope, this is what we can do. And then you go do that thing. That's like the integrity of words. It's like your actions and your words are the same.
Matching up,
Yeah, that's a big deal because you want to know what you can do and then do what you can do. So that's a big deal. That's so much. Just following through and finishing is way more important than starting. A lot of people can start, but it's the finishers who really
The follow through.
build the relationships and get called back because they show up and they do the work, finish, with clarity. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
No, I think that answers my question beautifully, honestly, because I feel like that's something that I know is a good skill to have. But like you mentioned something about overpromising. I feel like in my time like coming up to this point, like I would do that, not because I legitimately, like, it was because I legitimately thought, like, oh yeah, I can totally
Right.
do those like 7 projects in a week, you know, like, or I can, you know, just, I don't know if it was a wishful thinking or if it
Yeah.
was just like me, like, being manic and just being like, yeah, I
Right.
can do this and I can do that and I can do, and I would try.
Yeah. And you
There
want
was a time I was,
to you
yeah,
want to have
there was
some
a
of
time I
that.
was working on a short film. I literally thought I could teach myself like the loudness scale in one night. I was like, yeah, I'll just learn real quick and then I'll like do it and blah, you know, like, so I feel like being able to understand your own limits and understanding because it's not necessarily, I don't think it looks bad on you if you aren't promising the moon and the stars and the sun. You know, like if you just promise the sun, it'll be okay. You know, and I feel like that was something
That's
that
huge.
I personally had to learn if I was going to continue to succeed in, like, you know, like you said, and follow through in the things that I was saying that I was going to be capable
Right.
of doing.
Yeah. And I think early on, Lexi, you want to have some of that, hey, we're going to walk through walls together. We could take the hill, we can storm the beaches of Normandy. And that'll get you
Pretty
somewhere,
far.
right?
Yeah.
But what gets you up the ladder is not really false bravado. It's just clarity, follow through, and finishing. You know, and it regardless of whether you're a scoring composer, a producer, a mix engineer, a music supervisor, or a clearance agent, it's just say what you're going to do, and then do what you said you were going to do. Those two
As simple
things.
as that. Yeah.
It's simple. I don't care whether you're mixing or scoring strings, you know, it's just being able to manage the project is maybe more important than the project.
Yeah, because if you, like you said, if you do what you say you're gonna do, the person really, they see that, you know, they see that you, oh, they said they're gonna send me these stems by Tuesday and it's Tuesday and I have them. Great, you know. And I know for me, like, because I do so many different projects, I have to learn how to pace myself and understand and also communicate, like, because I may have said that I'm gonna get these to you on Tuesday, but if it's Sun Saturday, Sunday, and I'm realizing, ooh, there's no way I, at this point in time that I'm gonna be able to do that now, like making sure I let them know, hey,
100%.
you know, because we're human
Yeah.
and nobody expects us to be perfect or machines, but at the same time, you had that conversation and you
And
followed through
stuff
even
comes
on that
up.
part.
You get
Right,
corona,
exactly.
a snow blizzard happens and your power's out, but it's
That
manageable.
happened to me too.
Yeah, it happened. We had a hard drive go down some years ago. And this was before there was Dropbox and all these backup systems. And the studio, one of the interns at the studio, like erased the whole drive. And this was
Oh
at this point, it was a $10,000 drive because we'd been tracking for days.
no. Oh,
This was a
okay.
system called Radar back in the late 90s. And somebody deleted it and they ate it and they said, look, we apologize. We're going to give you access to the studio above and beyond what you paid for. So it's that kind of stuff. You know, nobody expects you to be perfect. Just integrity, clarity, and communication. That's what you hired back. You may be able to get hired the first time, but you know, when you have people coming back and rehiring you year after year for the Final Four or Microsoft Connect events, that's the stuff that gets you hired back because they know you're not full of shit and they know you know how to you know how to
You're
finish.
serious. Yeah, for sure. So when it comes to those relationships that we kind of talked a lot about them on like a macro level. I'm curious about how you would go about building relationships on a more micro and like personal level. Because I know personally I have a lot of artists and producers and things that come to me, even filmmakers who have come to me asking about like me doing music for them or helping out with Foley or whatever the case may be, and the interaction, I'm like, yeah, I'll send you over some samples, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, cool. And then I'm just waiting to hear back. And like something like that, where it's like, all right, like I'm doing my due diligence and what I can do to nurture this relationship. But at the same time, like, this is your project. Like, why am I, you know what I mean? So what.
People are on, I mean, a couple things, Lexi. I think people are on their own timeline. So we've got a new client we'll be working with, and they're 2 or 3 months out. So they don't need us today, but they need us in 30 days. So it's just building those relationships, being of value, and the clarity and communication is really all you can do. Once they know what you do and your history, it's like they'll like when you're ready, you'll be ready, and you'll be able to move forward with us. But you can't really push wet spaghetti. That's not a good, you can't force that to happen. They need to be ready to go. That's how we think about it. Add value, have those processes in place to where you can send people your reel, that you can send people pricing information, and when they're ready, they'll be ready. Because this is really, business to business stuff. This isn't like, we're not selling Cheetos here. We're selling like a service that businesses need. So you can't force them in that. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of how I would speak to that. Does that make sense?
It did answer, I guess, a part of my question. I'm still kind of curious in terms of when it comes to, actually, let me word it this way. How would you like to be approached by
That's
someone who is looking for potential work, to work with you, or something of that nature? They have music that's outside your catalog that they want you to listen to, that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We were just talking about this on a licensing group on LinkedIn recently. Because there's a lot of people who don't know the protocol, and they just spam, 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 and that's not a good place to be. So what I offered was, if you're starting out today, build relationships with people that are 10 years, where you want to be 10 years from now. Build relations, find those people, say, I want to be that person. I want to go where they're going, right?
For
And
sure.
then that's step one, the you 10 years from now. And then I recommended, offering to work on a project with them for gratis. Get your foot in the door, work for free on a project, and make yourself indispensable. Add massive value to that project. Get there first, show up, leave last. And then that's the second step, is offer to work on a project for free. They probably won't take that option, but that's the smart option. And the third step is rinse and repeat. Do that again and again over time, and you will build relationships with integrity, and you will show them that you're indispensable. And again, that has nothing to do with music. That has nothing to do with plugins or Pro Tools or wah, wah, wah. It's just kind of showing up and adding value, building relationships. You do.
It's an important piece. It's an important piece.
It is. I mean, because you can learn, people know how to do Pro Tools. You can figure that out. People know how to mix, they know how to be creative. Creativity is not the problem. What the problem is building those relationships and making yourself indispensable. You do that over 4 or 5 projects, 100% of the time, if we don't hire you, the next person will,
Yeah,
because you're.
honestly, it sounds like it's essentially, this is what you just said to me is like a step-by-step guide on how to not be
that person, like the person that nobody wants to work with, or the person that people are like telling you not to hire, or don't even worry about talking to them. Like they're just going to waste your time, you know, that sort of thing.
That's it. How to not be that person. And there's a lot of that person, you know, we, every day we get, you know, there's a way to do it right. And there's a way to be icky, you know?
Yeah.
And people want to work with people who can communicate and are human. Like humans like to work with humans. They don't spam your way into a career. You just can't do it. It's icky. Yeah. It's not transactional. It's how do you be transformational and how do you add value to people you work with? So, yeah, I mean, that's, don't be that person is spot on.
I know ever since we started doing this, I've been getting some rather interesting messages in my DMs and in my messages. And it's interesting.
Can you share one?
It's me.
Can you share one? Speak to one.
Yeah. So I had one where it was a producer. They and like I said, I produce things. I love finding like new producers or even producers who have been at this a while, and it's cool to hear their influence on things and how they are, you know, adjusting to the ways of music today and stuff like that. So I'm always open to connecting with those people, following those people, what have you. So yeah, I accepted like a message from them, and the message was literally just like, here's my link. And then it was just the link. Like there was no, hey, how are you? How are you doing? I noticed you were doing X, Y, Z. Can we talk more about that? Nothing. It was just straight, here's my link. And I was like,
no.
Who are you?
No.
Like, I don't, you know, like, wait, what? Your link to what? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's, I didn't open it.
Yeah.
I didn't open it. I mean, I put it this way. I didn't prioritize opening it.
Yeah.
It is something that I am still interested in, you know, hearing it and finding more about. But to be honest, my first instinct was to tell them, was literally to say, hey, do you mind like saying hi first? I don't actually know anything about you. But I was like, you know, I don't even have time to do that much. I have things to do. Like, I'll get back to you when I get back to you.
And look, the hustle grind is good, but there's a lot of what they call hustle porn out there, where you're just hustle, 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 hustle. And it's like, yeah, you want to have a good work ethic. You want to go for stuff, no doubt. But when that's your ask, here's my link. It's like, A, I will never listen to this because I've had 4,000 of these sent to me and I know that person.
So, I'm trying to get on your level.
Yeah, I will purposefully never listen to it because it's icky. So yeah, I think you're exactly right. That's the wrong way to do it. And that's kind of why we're doing this whole series at the help desk, is like helping people know what they don't know. It's not about your musical talent. Trust me. I hate to say it. You might be Mozart, you may be Prince, but I doubt it. You know, you're probably a talented individual who, you know, is good at what you do, but you're not Prince or Mozart. So all this stuff is important because it's like, this is how we can help you kind of get to a baseline to where you have a chance, you know, conversations like this, you know?
Right.
And again, these aren't people that are trying to be jerks or break the
Exactly.
But on the other side, on the buyer side, we get the same thing of people saying, you know, I need help with this project. Maybe I'm a first-time filmmaker. I'm not trying to break the law, but I just need help in staying legal. Those, you know,
right.
That's what I hear, you know. So it's both sides, on the creative side and on the buy side, buy side and the sell. So it's just important. It's important enough for us that we're doing this series just to help people understand the terminology, some of the basic do's and don'ts. We're not
Mm-hmm.
selling you stuff. We don't want to.
Nope.
It's just adding value to the conversation where people have a clarity of kind of how this works.
Yeah, because there's just like I've said numerous times here so far, like there's so much misinformation and complex, confusing information that can just really like send you on like a tailspin, because you're just like, I don't even know what to take in anymore, you know? I feel like in doing this is a very like straightforward, streamlined conversation where, you ask a question and we answer it.
That's right.
It's as simple as that. But yeah, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I mean, I think that's the I think you buttoned it up. There's that was perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, well, on that note, thank you guys so much for watching. I appreciate you guys coming back for another one. I know I really like doing these. I learn something new every time, and that's the goal for me to learn and for you guys to get help. I am such a helpful person. I love helping people, and I feel like this has been such a great experience. Thank you so much, John, for coming
Sure.
back and talking to me again. I just wanted to also mention to everyone watching, like I mentioned before, I've been getting a lot of messages about like submissions and how to go about sending in your music and wanting your music to be used in projects and all sorts of stuff like that. I just wanted to say that if you would like to be considered for future projects, you can sign up for WeRecorder, and we will be talking a lot more about WeRecorder in future episodes, so stick around for that. But in the meantime, be sure to follow us on socials. We're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Wait, I feel like I'm missing one. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn,
YouTube, Facebook,
YouTube. Yes, thank
all
you.
the.
YouTube. All the episodes, you're probably watching this episode here on YouTube, but definitely drop comments below for any questions or topics that you'd like us to cover, because we absolutely love getting those. Like, it's very helpful for us to know what you guys need to know, and it's helpful for me to be able to realize that, oh, I can help with that. Like that's a great feeling. So, definitely let us know any other things that you'd like us to cover. Follow us on socials. I get back to you as soon as I can. I know John gets he tries to do his best to get back to people. So, shoot us a DM. Yeah, for sure.
Keyword tries. And luckily that link, that submission link, we'll put that in the comments below to where they can, if they feel they have music that's compelling, they can submit that. Our submission process will be in that link.
Yeah, sounds good. Cool.
Either link
So,
bio or down here somewhere.
cool. Yeah, we'll drop it in the description somewhere. Definitely. And I'll make it really apparent on my socials, my personal ones as well, so that way you guys can, if you're coming over from my side of town on social media, I'll definitely make that pretty easy to find as well. So, thank you again so much, John. It's been great
This was a
talking
fun
with
one.
you.
Thanks.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll
Thank
talk to you
you.
next time.
All right. Bye.